Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey here with my co-host Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. This is day two of our training session where Justin and I are going to go over what to do when you actually start getting those phone calls. Before we jump into it, though, I did want to make another announcement that Justin and I have officially launched our consulting program. We're really excited about this, guys. Basically, we're here to help you. It doesn't matter if you're brand new to this and you just want some help getting started, or you've been in the business a while and you're looking for some help on how to expand. All you have to do is go to our website at www.casualfridaysrei.com, click on the consulting tab, walk through the sign up, and we'll be in touch to help get started.
So episode 7, man, it's been great to see the outpour of love we've gotten on our Instagram, Facebook, and actually the downloads of this. It's been unreal to see.
Yeah, man, I didn't really know how quickly it would come, but I keep checking the website like hourly. How many downloads do we have now?
Yeah, it's amazing to see that. We do appreciate it. And that's all because of y'all. Remember to like and subscribe as you see that. Not only because if you do that, you could win a free piece of land on episode 10, but because it helps us out and keeps us on the air. So today we're talking about what do you do when they start calling you back. Last episode we talked about mail, but what do you do, Adam?
Well, you pick it up and say hello.
Yep. That's just end of show, right? No, I think that's, I don't ever answer the phone and say hello anymore.
Why?
Because it's for me, it's like I want to create some buffer, a little bit of negotiation tactic. I want to come back into the conversation with all my ducks in a row, because I think you need to have something there to say hello to them, whether it's from the free Google Voice you can get with a voicemail, to your sister-in-law, to or your brother-in-law, let's keep it real, to somebody in the Philippines, or with Pat Live, or another answering service like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, just because, like, some of these people aren't going to be very happy with you. I mean, they've got this property that they love, or they put their hard-earned money into, and it's been in their family for a long time. All of a sudden, you just make them an offer that's 35% or below of what of the market value. And they may even think it's worth more than the market value. So they're calling to give you a piece of their mind. And I don't want to be the one that gets that first phone call.
You don't want that piece of their mind, huh?
No, I've had it, which is why now someone answers the phone for me.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think that for me, had I answered every phone call live in our first mailer, I don't think I'd ever do this again.
I definitely 100% would not be in this business, because these people are so angry, they will make up curse words.
Yeah, they will make them up. What's the funnest curse word you've heard so far?
Well, this is a G show, so like, we can't go there.
Forget about that. Me and the G ratings, we don't get along very well. So I'll tell you what, let's use you today as our guinea pig. We won't debate the show. We will just, I'll ask you to walk us through. So, and I'll pretend to be a caller calling in, and you kind of walk me through with what you would, and I'm not going to do anything off it, but we'll just walk through. I'm a piece of property calling you back, and you walk us through what you would do to do that. So I am APN 111 in Castilla County, Colorado. What do you do?
All right. So the first thing, listen, you've got my offer and you call me. Someone's going to answer the phone, whether that's me, whether that's Pat Live, whether it's your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, whoever it is, they've got to get some key information.
Okay, what kind of key information do you look for?
Right, so, first thing is either the APN or maybe a reference number that you put on your letter. That way, we know who you are and what property you're calling in about.
Okay.
I want to get the county, because if I'm doing multiple mailings, I want to make sure that that APN matches that county and I get the right property.
When you split up your counties in different mailers, do you change your reference number for, is it county specific or is it mailer specific?
Well, if I'm doing multiple counties, I'll split up the reference. Because typically my reference number will be like the first two initials of this, the county and then the state abbreviation. So like, say I'm mailing, I don't know, Apache County, Arizona, it'd be APAZ dash.
Okay.
If I'm doing multiple counties, I'll change that up.
Okay, cool.
And then
something that I do, and I'm pretty sure you do it too, is I always have whoever's talking to them, I straight up ask them, are you accepting the offer that we sent you?
Okay. Skip the agreement price.
Yeah, and that will get rid of a lot of the tire kickers. It'll get rid of the people that aren't so happy with the call, because they're going to tell you, well, no, you can do whatever you're going to do with this offer.
Split it in half and make love to your wife with it is what I got told once. Yeah. Not so, that's rated G term for that.
you're also going to get people that, well, I don't know if I'll accept this offer, but I may be interested in selling. And for me, since we're mailing so many, I don't really feel the need to negotiate though. And that helps me not deal with tire kickers.
Really? See, I ask if you won't sell for that price, if they say no on the agreement price, what price would you sell for?
Okay.
And I put the gauntlet right back on.
Yeah. Okay. I do that. But it's not me the one that's negotiating. And then I don't really feel like it leaves that much option, because they're either going to say, well, I'll accept this amount, or I don't know. And if they say, I don't know, well, then I'm probably, to me, that's a tire kicker.
You've been through more sales training than almost anybody I know. And you just almost told me you weren't closing at that point. Always be closing. ABCs. You probably taught me that. Why I wear a blue shirt? Because it's trusting.
Well, there's so many offers coming back and phone calls that I don't know.
You like to cherry pick right off the top. They say yes, you're working with them. They say I don't know, you're not working.
Right.
I mean, okay.
That's when you send out 1,000 letters. Mm-hmm. Let's say you do 1,000 a month. You're going to be overwhelmed.
You think 1,000 overwhelms you?
Yeah.
I know your markets, because we shop a little bit different markets, and with our pricing methodologies, our response rates are a little bit different. So for me, if I send out 1,000, I get 6 to 8 probably yeses back. I probably get about 15 calls to 20 calls in, and then I'm buying 2 or 3 of those.
Right. And
that's not overwhelming.
No, I don't think that's overwhelming, but if you're continually doing that, like every single month, if it's just you, your one-man team, you're going to start to feel the pressure.
So maybe that's an episode for the future, is how a one-man team cannot be a one-man team.
Absolutely.
Great. So they called back. They didn't agree to your price, or they did. What do you do before they agree to your price? Because you're not calling back and they say agree to your price. What do you do before you call them back?
Okay, so the first thing, I always make sure the person that's calling is the person I mailed to. And so they've got the APN, I've got the reference number, I've got the name. It's a quick, easy check. Does this person's name match this person? Because it could be a daughter-in-law or son-in-law took over the land when someone passed away, and now they want to sell it.
Okay.
And if they're not that person, is the person on the deed available to sign? Because that will throw a whole other complications into the purchase if that person's not available.
Have you ever had to deal with a hit person deed?
We'll save that. That's a complete other episode. I've dealt with that, yes, and I will not do that.
Really? See, and I've done quite a few of them, and that's a, to me, it doesn't turn me off of it yet. So it's still moving forward. Mm-hmm. So they agreed on a price, and it doesn't necessarily match the name. I do a little bit more digging.
Well, I've got a piece of property in Oklahoma that I'll sell you.
You can only sell me half of it.
Okay.
So what do you do now that you call them back? What all have you checked? Like, have you checked, do you get on Parcelfac? Do you get on Parlay? Do you check the county websites? What are you going to that conversation with in front of you?
I'm going, it says, so I've checked the person and make sure it's the right person. And then I am going to go to Parcelfac, but just real quick to verify access, because, you got to have a way to get the property. I personally wouldn't buy a property if there was not access. So I want to make sure there's a road to it.
So you actually go for physical access, physical and legal access, not just an easement.
Yes.
Okay. I'm the same way. I buy the same way, because I've been burned in some counties that had big ranches around it. My property was a piece of a section that was subdivided inside of a 13 square mile ranch, and you have 3 barbed wire fences and no gates to get to where you're going.
Yeah, those gates, this thing that will get you, right? So on the maps, you can't tell there's a gate there. So I want to see direct access.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a fair thing to say.
And besides access, I just do a quick attribute check. Is it close to a big town? Are there mountains? Are there trees? Is there something nice about the property?
Okay. And how do you do that?
I use Parcelfac. I use Google Maps, Google Earth, anything I can to lay eyes on it.
Yeah, and that's something I do as well. So what I do is I pull up Parcelfac, and the cool thing about it is when you press with your mouse on a certain area around the parcel, it'll give you that lat longitude, or you can get the polygon and transfer that over. But
usually I go to like the northwest corner and click that, then move that to Google Earth, and then I put Google Earth sits on 3D, so I can move it and kind of adjust it, because there's been a lot of deal breakers for me where the property's not usable. It'll be a mountain that you can't actually get onto the property. Like, it has a road to it, but at that road, there may be a side rail or something that you can't actually get behind it to actually get on the property. So I'll also look and see if there's a Google Street View, so I can see what kind of area it actually looks like. Because looking at a satellite map in a desert area, it looks like one way. You may get on the Street View and it looks like this beautiful grassland with a couple of big trees, and it's just gorgeous. So I've been fooled before.
Yeah, that actually happened to me once in a county where it looked a certain way on Google Maps and Parcel Fact. And it was nice enough for me to buy one. The photographer went out there and got photos. I was like, I am not selling this.
I'm holding it. Is that the one? That's the one piece of one. It looks like it's a piece of art. One.
No. That's a different one. That was also a property I wanted to keep. That may be the problem for me in this business. Is like, if it comes back pretty, I'm just going to keep it.
You're just going to keep it. Put it in the family land trust.
Yeah. Not for now. Everything's for sale.
Everything's for sale. For $5, you can get my wholesale list.
Yeah, pay me to be on my wholesale list.
Yeah. So now that you're getting ready to call them back, you've checked Parcel Fact, you've checked Google Earth, you've got attributes, you've got access. What do you say?
I call them back and say, I want to buy your land.
I want to buy your land. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So as you call somebody back and you want to buy their land, you're going to pretty much, you call and negotiate, you know what the access is, what you offered. Because you know what you offered, you have an idea of what the property is. So you know, hey, we've checked access, we've checked affordability, we've checked the attributes, and then the acreage and the size, because you did the acreage and affordability on the front side when you actually put that together. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything else that you asked them or you talked to them about?
Well, yeah, so this is key. When you get them on the phone, you want to start them before. These people probably have this thing for a long time, like I said, and they're going to know things about this property that you wouldn't even think to ask about. Like, they're going to tell you a story, and if you're listening, you're going to use that story when you sell a property.
That's a great point. I had a guy one time sell me a piece of property. It was 80 acres in a county, and he said that, man, we loved this piece of property. It had an old, like, shack on it, and his son and him and his grandson for 40 years went out there mule deer hunting. And they did that every year up until like the last 20 years. The grandson has a son now, so he's got a great grandson. But nobody wanted to go out there anymore because they had no running water. It had nothing out there. It was just this piece of wood to keep them out of the elements. But to think about the generational land and the hunting they did there, that's a selling point to me. That's like, hey, generational hunting. This property has been in this family for this long. Hasn't seen the market in 70 years.
Absolutely. You take their story and you put it into your marketing piece.
Oh, yeah. We had one come back not too long ago. It was a gold mine had been in a family for like five generations. And so they panned gold on it. You better believe that was in the marketing.
Did you get out there? Did you make? Mine?
That's what our microphones are made of. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll see our gold microphones.
For some reason, I think you probably got the gold one. I got the gold plated.
They're kept at your studio.
Good point.
Yep.
I know I'm going to pay the mortgage next month.
Yeah. Fair enough. So we've called him back. Do you typically agree to everything right then, or do you add a little caveat? Hey, I've got to do some follow up with the county and do some back end checking.
Yeah, I always follow it up. They're going to tell you stories. You're going to get to know about it. You're going to ask questions, but then I still like to verify everything they said.
Okay.
Trust but verify.
Trust but verify.
You could do it on the phone with them, I guess, but getting off the phone really allows you to dive into it, take time, check with the county, check the data records, verify everything you need to know before you call back.
Yeah, I think for me on the phone with them, I try to set up another form of communication, whether it's email or text. Hey, do you perform email, text, phone call? Because I need to check with my team needs to check the back end of this a little bit. We need to check with the county, verify the back taxes, make sure the ownership's right. I've got to get a copy of the vesting deed. If you didn't send it, do you have a copy? Could you send it to me? Do you have a survey? If you do send it, if not, don't worry about it. I can get around that. But and then at that point, you're going to let them know how you're going to close, because a lot of times our letters say, hey, we're going to close in 3 days with a cashier's check. But if it's a $100,000 piece of property, you're not closing in 3 days with a cashier's check. You're probably going to run it through title. So what does that look like? And walk them through that process. A lot of people get the mistake of building a rapport as taking somebody out for coffee and play golf. And you see this in multifamily a ton, where the multifamily people say, hey, if you're going to go offer somebody some money on a property, the first seven times you talk to them, you're taking them to coffee or bringing them donuts or bringing them brownies or whatever you're going to bring them to build that rapport. And that's not to me what rapport is. Rapport is telling them what you're going to do and actually doing it and following up with them. You know, having a conversation with them about their piece of property, you know, that they're going to tell you stuff. They're going to open up, and you can have those type dialogues with somebody. You're polite, you're kind, but you're trustworthy. You'll build a trust at that time.
Yeah, you'd be honest with them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just tell them exactly what you would want to hear.
There is really no right or wrong answer on that. So some people are like, I don't know what they want to hear. I don't know what I want to hear. You say, hey.
Yeah, don't be the one that talks then. You know, maybe ask a simple question and they'll start filling in the gaps. I actually remember the very first one I got back, I was so nervous to call the guy that I probably sounded, you know, slow or something on the phone, right? But I essentially just got quiet and he started talking and he told me there's power that runs across the back. He told me he's got a survey. He told me what all the neighbors were up to. And I was like, I have everything I need right now.
Yeah. So you went from a raw piece of rural land to an improved piece of property that you have a survey. It's an extremely marketable piece of property. And you probably did better because of it, because you listened. So know the key points, the things that you want to know. Hey, when's the last time you went out there? Oh, cool. What did y'all do out there? Did you and your family ever use it? You know, I bought property before. The lady said, yeah, me and my kids and my husband, we camped on it as kids with our kids. Our kids are now 50s and 60s. We don't want it anymore. They don't want it. And it looked nice because we liked your letter. And it looked like, hey, you know what? There's a family that might want this. So have those conversations. So let's summarize real quick, just to kind of walk us through, get all our thoughts back together. You want to say hello. Yeah. Not you, but either from the minimalist side of your voicemail to hiring a service to answer your phone. You have to call them back.
Yeah, you need to get them on the phone after that initial phone call.
Yep.
Make sure you want to get some data points too. You know, who is the person calling? Do they match what's on your letter?
Mm-hmm.
You need to get the APN or the reference number.
So you know a property to look up, because you're going to look it up before you call them back.
Yep. You want the county. Do they accept your price?
Yep. That's a big thing. It's all about dollars and cents, guys.
And then, you know, the size of the property. Oh, how to get back in touch with them.
Yeah, very important. So it sounds like we've got you through another episode of Casual Fridays, REI.
Yeah, no, I think that about sums up everything you know. Don't forget, though, if you've still got some questions, you can go on our website and book a consulting call with either myself or Justin. We really want to help you out and see your business grow, so make sure you're doing that. Also, we're getting close to that 10th episode where Justin's going to be giving away some land. So make sure you're finding us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you're listening to this, and like, rate, and subscribe to the show. Then take a screenshot and send it to Justin@PlumInvestmentGroup.com. And finally, go find us on Facebook or Instagram, because we would really like to get to know y'all. Okay, that's it. We'll see you Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.